This morning I'm going to be talking about trusted and committed to God. I want to start off in Psalms 37. I think it will help us and give us some insight into trusting and committed. Psalms 37, 1, don't worry about the wicked or the envy, those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you'll live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. Now, these verses tell us two things. In the first two verses, it tells us things that we should not do. In the next verses, 3, 4, and 5, he tells us what we should do. If you're going to be successful and receive from God what you need, you're going to have to learn to follow God's instructions. You know, I don't know about you, but most guys, I mean, how many of you guys have had to put something together for the kids on Christmas Eve for the next morning? How many of you did the same thing I did? Oh, I got this, and we start working on it. Don't read the instructions. I got some help. And then you have to take it all apart, read the instructions, and it goes together good. You know, we do that sometimes with God. We're expecting him to meet us, yet we're not following the instructions. Hello now, come on. Don't set out on me now. So let's look at that first part. You have to learn not to worry, fret, fuss about anything, what others are doing. It says, don't worry about the wicked or envy those who are doing wrong. Now, I know this is talking about the wicked, but I want to take it for us not to worry about things that are happening to us. You know, I named after a man that had many challenges, but he refused to worry and fret about anything. You know, you can ask my wife, and she'll tell you that my dad, Kenneth Hagin, it didn't matter what was happening, he would not worry or fret about it in the least. And so this helped me to learn the same thing, and I learned to cast the care on the Lord, and when my head hit the pillow at night, I go to sleep. Now, if you're fretting and worrying about something or someone, you haven't turned it over to the Lord, and he can't do anything about it. You have to turn it over to him so he can do something about the situation. As long as you're worrying and fretting about it, you haven't turned it over. You might say you have, but you haven't. You know, it says not to do here in this verse. You know, sometimes people get mad and upset because somebody done something to you, or you begin to fuss about this or that or something else that's happening. But the Lord says that you have to trust him. Now, you know, how do you know how to detect when a person is just saying, I'm trusting the Lord? By listening at them talk. They will be talking about the problem more than they are talking about the problem solver. You know, they'll be talking negative instead of positive, in line with the Word of God. Or they'll be talking about what this person did or that person did. and not to them, just was something they did. You know what? Sometimes we worry or be concerned maybe and worry about what somebody else is doing and the decisions they're making. Well, you can pray for them, but hey, that's not what you need to do. Whatever they do, they do. I mean, I say this a lot of times. I tell Annette, I said, well, you know, they're making a wrong decision, but there's nothing I can do about it. So I just pray for them. And then that's all. I let it go. See, you have to let it go. Because if you hang on to it, then it's going to eat away at you. Well, I just don't understand. If I was them, I wouldn't do that. Well, hey, forget it. Go on. Stop worrying. Stop fretting about stuff. If you're doing that, I got two words for you. Stop it. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm trying to help you so that you don't hinder God's promises from becoming a part of your life. You can't fuss and fret and worry about things and walk in faith at the same time. If you're going to walk by faith to receive God's promises, you have to be willing to give it to Him and forget about it. Don't even think about it. God wants to bring all of the promises into your life, all the blessings into your life. Excuse me. But you are limiting Him when you say, okay, I'm going to turn it over to Him, but then you continue to think about it, to fret about it, to be upset about it. Excuse me. You know, you can tell if a person is just smart mouthing words or if they really say, when they say, I'm trusting God, by the tone of their voice. If they're really trusting God, it's got a uplifting tone to it. Or, you know, I'm trusting God, praise God, hallelujah. Well, I'm trusting God on this. Which one of those do you think it really is trusting God? Come on now. I may be walking on somebody's toes, but that's probably good. Now you can change. You know, people say, well, you need to face reality. Talk about the problem. I'm not minimizing the problem. I'm not saying and denying that we don't have problems and that the devil don't attack us. I've had to deal with stuff, and I deal with stuff all the time. You know, adversity comes. Man, you know, Lynette, I don't know, just a couple days ago, we're driving in the car, she gets a call from somebody from George or Cameron or one of the guys, and something went wrong. I forgot what it is now. I just said, all right, Lord, you got to take care of it. When you got 110-acre campus and 20 buildings, there's always something that you're facing. Hello? You know, I pull out of the parking lot. Oh, a few weeks back, and I see none of the parking lot lights are on. Well, I just call the people that's involved and tell them parking lot lights are out. I forgot about it. Because that's not my concern to make. I let the people know. See, that's what you got to do when you have a problem. You have to go to God, give it to Him, and then forget it. because he's the one going to take care of it. If you could have took care of it, you'd already done it. Hello. If something goes wrong with the sound system, something went wrong. I don't know. But I tell the people that knows about it, I turn it over to them. That's it. I don't think about it. Hello. I look up and I see lights out. I turn it over to someone. I say, hey, the lights are out. And I go on. Why? Because I trust the people that I'm telling this to get it done, right? You do it all the time yourself. You tell your kids what to do and you trust that they're going to get it done. You tell some of you that help you, but you have to come out and check up on some people. But if you've got good people, you don't have to go trust, you can trust them. Hello? But I tell you what, you can always trust God. Always. You know, numerous times the enemy attacks. But why do I want to spend all my time worrying and fretting about what the devil's doing? I need to talk about what God's doing and his promises. You know, a missionary came to speak at a church, and so actually at their convention, really, and he got up and gave a glowing report of what God was doing and where they were at and what was happening. And so afterwards, a person came to him and said, I'm sure you face many problems and difficulties. Why didn't you tell us about that? The missionary said, I didn't want to give the devil that much attention. I don't want to testify about what the devil's doing. You need to think about that one for a minute. When you are talking, are you testifying for the devil or are you testifying for God? Oh, come on now. You see, when I get to talking like this, I mean, as long as I'm doing something good, amen, hallelujah, praise God. Now I start talking about something. I don't know about that. Come on now. When I really get down, and any minister really gets down where all of a sudden you got to make a decision about something, you say, well, I don't know about this. This ain't no fun. Hey, it may not be fun to make the decision, but if you make the decision and then God meets your needs, then it's going to be fun. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on now. See, we can't continually talk about the situations and the problems and how wrong somebody treated us. We have to begin to talk about what God said. And what David is saying here, and what I'm trying to get across to you, is that we have to stop focusing on the problems of life and start focusing on the problem solver of our problems. Now, let's look at the the next part of this, what we have to do. See, the other is you're not to do this. Now you're supposed to do this. Starting with verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you'll live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Now, I believe as David is speaking here, I believe he's speaking from personal experience. He had to trust God in many, many situations, if you study his life. He had to trust God and stay committed to the anointing that God had placed on him a number of years before he ever became king. Come on, go read about it. Go study about it. He was probably a 17-year-old kid whenever he was anointed to be king, but it was many years later before but he kept trusting. You see, in reading these verses, we see that not everything we believe for will come to pass immediately always. And that's a problem with some people with their faith. When it doesn't come to pass immediately, they quit believing or trusting God. You know, we're called to walk by faith, whether we can see it, feel it, touch it, taste it, smell it, or whatever. When the road is easy, we walk by faith. When the going gets difficult, we walk by faith. When somebody does us wrong, we keep walking by faith. Walking by faith is trusting God. When the enemy attacks us, we keep on going. No matter what happens, we continue in our walk of faith, trusting God. Now, verses 3-5 give us some key words. Look at this in verse 3. Trust in God and do good.
That's it, right there.
Come on. Trust in God and do good.
Yes.
Then in verse 4, delight ourselves in the Lord. Verse 5, commit our way to God and keep on trusting Him. In order to see the promises come into your life, you have to pay attention to these three things. When you begin to walk by faith, you'll have a lot of opportunities to quit. The devil will try to make you look at others and look at yourself and compare yourself to them. Well, hey, man, I'm believing God, but I'm not getting what they're getting. See, he wants you to get upset so that you will begin to fret and then whine about the situation. He wants to get you in fear. Fear is one of the devil's most effective tools to get us out of trusting God. Somebody said, well, what if it doesn't happen? That's fear right there. I always turn around and look at them and say, they say, what if it doesn't happen? I said, what if it does happen? Sometimes I look at somebody and I say, they said, man, I don't know about this. I don't know about this trust in God. So I said, what do you got to lose? Hello, come on, let's think about it. You know, you're not doing very good right now, so try. What do you got to lose? Trust in God. Hello, come on now. I'm just doing some good old down-home teaching this morning. You know, he'll come in with something when you least expect it. Hello. You know, playing football coach, he would tell us, he'd say, don't ever relax until you get back in that huddle. Always be ready to be hit. Many, many times injuries happen after the referees blow his whistle, somebody relaxes, and then they get hit. They're not expecting to be hit. They're not ready to be hit. Any of you guys know that play football know what I'm talking about? Yeah, because some people don't play by the rules, and if they get a chance, they'll take a cheap shot at you. And that's not any fun. No. Carlos here, he knows what I'm talking about. He played defensive tackle in the end for Tulsa University. When the whistle blew, did you relax or did not, or wait till you got back in the defensive huddle?
Sir, you gotta wait.
You got to wait. Hey, stay. And what I'm trying to tell you, you stay ready. Stay ready for the enemy. He's coming all the time. Stay ready. Now, I'm going to say something here. You have to decide today. You have to decide ahead of time that you're going to keep on trusting God no matter what happens. No matter what this one says or that one says, no matter what this person does or that person does, you're going to keep trusting God. Well, my grandma was trusting God and she didn't get healed. That don't make any difference as far as I'm concerned. That doesn't nullify by his stripes you were healed. Hello? You see, we got to make a decision. I'm going to trust God and believe God no matter what happens. You also have to make a decision to be committed. Hello? You know, Daniel 3:16 in the New Living. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But here, look at this. Faith was talking here. But now look at this. But even if it doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue that you set up. They refused to bow to that statue that the king had made in his own likeness, you know, and they stated their faith, their trust, but then they stated, our God will deliver us, but if he doesn't, we still won't bow. Now you see, real faith has commitment. Come on. They said, listen, let me tell you something. We believe he will deliver us, but if it doesn't happen, we're still not going to bow. They were trusting God. They choose to obey God. They committed to obey God in every circumstance. They went in the furnace, but they come out of the furnace. You know, sometimes people won't, they say, well, I don't want to have to face anything. Well, these guys faced the fire and they walked out. Now, you're not going to face any fire, real fire, but you're going to face some problems that are just as real. And if you'll trust God and be committed to him, he'll see you through. Many people start out trusting God, but in the middle of their situation, they begin to waver and wonder, well, is God going to really do it this time? Because it's not happening like they think it should or as quick as they think it should. See, these three Hebrew children, their faith, walk of faith, didn't keep them from going into the furnace. Their faith helped them to overcome. God saw their commitment. You know, it requires commitment. It may mean you have to endure some things. In fact, if you read over there in Timothy, Paul tells Timothy to endure. That means stay put no matter what. Hello? When people trust God, they're committed to him, he will bring it to pass. You know, I was playing basketball at United States Taiwan Defense Command, and Captain Woods was the coach. And at that time, I was about 6'2" and weighed every bit of 160 pounds. But, you know, I wasn't that big. But we had a guy there. He was, in fact, I got the picture of the team up in my office. He's about 6'4", maybe close to 6'5". But if we went to the zone, playing zone, instead of playing man-to-man, he would say, "Hagen, take the middle." And he'd tell Hicks, "Get out there on the wing." And I asked him one day, Captain Woods, he's the coach, I said, "Why do you put me in the middle and when we go to a 3-2 zone?" He said, "Because when you go in that middle, you're committed to it, and nobody's going to come in there and get any baskets. If they do, they're going to pay the price." Now, the way they play basketball today is not the way I was taught and learned how to play basketball. Any of y'all play back in the 60s and the 50s? I was in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Hey, when they come in that middle, I'm committed to it, and I'm going to knock anybody out of there that's coming in. That's when I play sports, when I do anything, when I minister, I'm committed to it, period. I don't care what happens. I was playing in the intramural basketball league over here. My wife tells this story. She said, I blocked a guy out, hipped him pretty good, and he said, "Did my pastor just foul me?" I'm talking about commitment. I'm talking about being willing to take and do whatever is necessary to bring about receiving what God said belongs to us. You know, God never promised it'd be easy. And I have never played a basketball game, baseball, ran track. I've never played any sport that if you were going to be a winner, that you had to be committed to it, and it wasn't easy. It isn't any fun after you've been at practice for 2 hours. I was running track. And the coach dismissed everybody and go, "Okay, see you tomorrow." I stay out, and I ran 5 or 6 more. Walk a 220, sprint a 220. 220 yards, I'm talking about. You know, you modern people call it meters now, but it's yards back in my day. Was that any fun? No. But at the state meet in the 880 relay, which I was running second leg on, 220 yards, that extra that I did came into being right there when I was coming down that final stretch to hand that baton off to old Lanky Martin. I mean, that last 20 yards, I'm starting to see spots in front of my eyes. But I wouldn't quit. I was committed to it. And I handed that baton off to him and just fell over into the, because I was on the inside lane by that time, because I was in first place by the time I handed it to him. And I just fell over onto the grass of the football field there. Because as I handed it off to him, I was starting to black out. I don't know, any of you ever run track and done that? Oh, there's Zach, our youth pastor. He's got his hand up. Hey, you have to have that kind of commitment in the natural to get something done. Spiritually, you got to have that same kind of commitment. You know, I won't quit. You know me. That's it. Hey, I'm committed to God no matter what happens. I'm committed. Commitment is something I think sometimes that is sadly lacking in people's lives. They're committed as long as everything is going good. But when it starts getting hard and things are not going like they think they should, they start backing off. When things are getting hard, that's when you should get harder, get more committed. Because the devil is trying to throw you off. He's trying to get you out. Man, I mean, I just get more. Playing defensive back, guy catches a pass on me. We walk back to the huddle. I say, you better be glad you got one, because that's the last thing you're going to get. See, that's the kind of situation. You know, when the devil comes in and starts hammering at you and telling you all kinds of junk, that's when you've got to take I don't know how to explain it. It's just something that's inside of me. It's something I've always had ever since I was a kid, and that is, if I'm going to do it, I guess it's because my dad told me so many times I could hear him saying, now, son, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right, or don't do it at all. That's the way I live, my life, natural life and my spiritual life. And I'm going to tell you why. You begin to see that God is there to take care of you, but you've got to trust him and be committed to him. You got to be talking about what God said, not about what the devil's doing. You got to be talking about what God said and not what somebody else is saying. Somebody told me one time, you know what somebody's saying about you? I said, no, and I don't care. What do you mean you don't care? Because I said, it don't make any difference what they say. What makes a difference is, am I doing what God told me to do, where God told me to do it? Am I believing him? Am I receiving what he said belongs to me? I don't care what they're saying. Amen. Come on now. You know, some people sometimes say, well, I don't know about these faith people. Well, I do. They're getting the blessing, and they're sitting over there griping and complaining, and they ain't getting nothing. Come on now. You know, hey, let's look at another guy by the name of Daniel. He'd given orders for the nobleman. Now, Daniel was a special to the king. You can read the story there in Daniel 6. And so he was praying. So these guys didn't like Daniel because the king was special to him. And so they got the king to sign a decree that they weren't supposed to pray and so forth and so on. And then they went to the king and they told him this. And the king, he had no choice but to arrest Daniel and put him in the lion's den. Then it says here in the New Living Translation, the king returned to the palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment, couldn't sleep all night. Very early next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve faithful and able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, long live the king. My God sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they wouldn't hurt me. And he goes on, the king was overjoyed, 23, it says, and ordered Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted God. He was committed to God even when they told him not to pray. And he went in the lion's den. But let me tell you what. He said, angel sent, shut the lion's mouth. He probably said, all right, come over here. He found one that had put his head down on him, used it for a pillow, got two more pull up beside of him to use to keep him warm. He just slept during the night. He slept all night. King had to holler and wake him up. You see, this is commitment and trusting God. That's what I'm talking about. Commitment and trusting God. Commitment and trusting God. If you're going to receive God's promises, you have to put your trust in Him and keep believing and committed to it until it comes to pass. Now, God is no respecter of person, but He is a respecter of faith. Come on now. He's no respecter of person, but He is a respecter of faith. Hello. You know, many people in the Word of God, they put their trust and commitment to God. Look at Hebrews 11 if you want to see it. Enoch trusted God, and God come down and took him. If you read the whole Bible, you'll find out that there's only two people that didn't go by the way of death, natural death, and that was Elijah and Enoch. Hello? Noah trusted God for 120 years. Then he saw the promises of God come to pass. He built a boat when it hadn't rained at all. But God told him to build a boat. He was committed to it, trusted God. Well, because he trusted God and was committed to it, he and his wife, his three sons and their two wives, and were all saved. That was the only humans that were saved. And then two of each kind of animal. That's what it says in the Bible. Somebody said, oh, you don't believe that fairy tale. I said, it's not a fairy tale. It's the Word of God. I believe the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Abraham and Sarah trusted God. Abraham went around for 17 years or thereabout, as far as we can get the chronological of it. You know, you can go study that. There's different chronological things that you can look at, but it was about 17 years, something like that. He went around, because see, Abraham means the father of many. He went around for about 17 years or more saying, I'm the father of many, and he didn't have any. Come on. See, he trusted God. Said, if you go read the story there in Romans, it says he was fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he said. And he was committed to it. He was so committed to God that he took Isaac up to the mountain to sacrifice him. And God supplied. Read the story. Hey, I think of another one that was committed and trusted God. His name was Joseph. He trusted God. He was committed to God. And those dreams did come true. You can read the story. David kept trusting God through all of his situations. And we could talk more about Daniel or Peter or John or Paul. They put their trust in God no matter what happened. He brought his promise to the pass. In fact, I just spoke, I don't know, Wednesday night or Sunday, so I don't know when it was. It was where Paul said, it'll be as it was told me. It will be for me, for you, if you will believe, as it's been told us right here. I believe. It will be as it's been told me. And I'm committed to it and I'm trusting God. You know, people don't see things come to pass immediately. They start doing away with their commitment and their trust. But when you are committed and you're fully persuaded that he is able to do what he said he would do, it will happen. God is looking for those that are fully committed to him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 in the New Living says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." This is not a time to quit and give up. It's a time to take commitment and trust and stay with God until it happens. I got a sermon I preached several years ago now. Say it till you see it. That's commitment and trust right there. You know, look, as we close out, Hebrews 10:35-36, New Living. "So don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings. Patient endurance is what you need so that you'll continue to do God's will and then you receive all he has promised." I'm sure anything that I said this morning wasn't brand new to you, to most of you anyway. But I just wanted to remind you again, it's your commitment and your trust that brings the promises of God to your life. You need to ever so often just check up on your commitment. Make sure it's still standing strong, because the devil will try to eat away at it if you're not careful. I believe when you're fully committed and trust God, then you will receive his rewards and his promises begin to flow into your life. But unless you stay committed to me and my word, you'll never see the results that you want to see. But if you'll stay committed to me and walk with me and believe me when you can't see it, I'll make it where you can see it. I will bring you through the fire. I'll bring you through the flood. I'll bring you through everything that comes your way. And as you stay committed to me, you will see that life will become so great and so good, and you can jump and shout with glee and say, "He's done it again." Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Everybody stand, please. Heavenly Father, just try to remind these people once again this morning that faith, trust, commitment to you will get them their answers that you said belongs to us from the Word of God. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you happen to be in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know him before you leave today. Or you know what it is to serve God, but you've sort of gone off course and taken a detour and you need to come back and rededicate your life to God. I want to pray with you and for you, but I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So if you need Christ or need to rededicate, wherever you're at, just slip your hand up like this, and I will pray with you and I'll pray for you. Anybody in the room, anybody, anywhere, need Jesus? There's a hand over here. Thank you. Anybody else need Jesus, need to rededicate their life anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in the room, right now? I'll tell you what, I'm going to go down here and wait. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out in that aisle and come down here and meet me right now, and I'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. Come on right now. Just come on right now. Just come on right now. Just come on right now. If you raise your hand, should have raised your hand.
It really does matter.
Bless you. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. This is your time to change your life forever. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm waiting. Come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I got three books in my hand. New birth, in Him, tell you about salvation. In Him, tell you about who you are in Christ. White tongues, tell you about the Holy Spirit. If I said I was going to give them to you and I put them out here like this, what you got to do to get them? You got to take them. They're yours. You're going to get those same books in just a minute. That's just an exercise I do. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing that you come to receive. Okay, I want you to raise one hand. I don't care which one it is toward heaven. Congregation, reach your hands out toward them and pray as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that every spiritual need will be met in these lives now. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn around, see the Hennessons there. Would you go with them to that place of prayer where you can pray with individually and in depth? Thank you, Jesus. Raise your hands and thank God for these people. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Well, praise the Lord. Myself, half of the team's already there on the bus, but the rest of us will be going on the plane. As soon as I shake hands with some people and grab a bite to eat and get on the plane, we'll be in High Springs, Florida tonight, Monday night and Tuesday night. And Lynette will be teaching in the day services. Pray for us. Then when Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we go over to Apopka, Florida. If you know anybody in those areas, let them know about it. Hey, tonight right here at 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Staff, go to the door so you can shake hands with people. Connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them back to the north lobby so that they can receive a special gift that we have for them. If you want to know where the pastoral staff is, there it is on the screen. For you first-time guests, if you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on and join us. They're going to sing a chorus and then they're going to dismiss you. I'm going to go down that aisle and try to get there to shake people's hands. God bless you. Pray for us as we do go live in faith conferences this week. God bless.
The joy of the Lord, the joy of